Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
To use a well-worn metaphor, the new Director General of the BBC faces a challenge that's akin almost to having to turn round a supertanker. A world-class broadcaster that's in desperate need of a new captain and a new route map. A BBC hit by low morale, having to impose drastic reductions in output and to axe jobs in response to an unprecedented financial squeeze. BBC Cuts, There Is an Alternative, is the title of a new pamphlet just published by the Federation of Entertainment Trade Unions. It sets out the challenges which will face the new Director General, an appointment that's aroused significant interest and not a little controversy. Now, here to discuss the priorities for the BBC's new boss are a trade union official, a BBC journalist and union activist, and a campaign organiser who uses the internet to raise public awareness. Now, that's just the kind of tonic that the BBC needs right now. Hannah Lounsborough, your campaign's director of 38 Degrees, the group that knows all about mobilising an online insurgency. What do you think is the public's awareness and possible anger at the downsizing of the BBC?
Well, in the 3 years that 38 Degrees has been campaigning, we've campaigned on issues related to the media and particularly the BBC on several occasions. Probably the first biggest moment that we mobilised the public around these issues was when the BBC was threatening to cut Six Music and the Asian Network, and we helped to bring together a whole range of online activists who were already getting involved, as well as people who were already involved with 38 Degrees and many thousands more who became involved with 38 Degrees through that campaign. And then also more recently, our members worked together to challenge the idea that was starting to come through elsewhere in the media that potentially the new Director General should be someone with a degree of political sympathy with the Conservative Party. That was an idea that we'd seen certainly Boris Johnson raise, and it had popped up in a couple of other places. And our members got in touch to say how concerned they were about that, and we mobilised together to try and make sure that that wasn't what happened.
So you'd think, would you, that there might be a chance for another public awareness campaign that might help raise morale in the BBC, for example?
Well, I hope that the campaigns that we've already seen 38 Degrees members get involved with have demonstrated to people working for the BBC and involved with the BBC in a whole host of different ways that there are a huge number of people all across the UK who really value the services that they offer and who would be extremely sad and concerned to see the BBC cut in a way that endangered the offer that it currently delivers.
Becky Branford, you're a journalist at BBC Online, a service vital to the future of the BBC. You're also a local branch official of the National Union of Journalists. To give you your full title, you're Mother of the Chapel. Are you heartened by what Hannah Lounsborough says, that she believes the public are on the side of the BBC and perhaps can be mobilised in a way that might help raise morale?
I think that's an extremely critical part of the struggle that lies ahead of us, is mobilising the public, you know, spreading awareness of, you know, the very real risk. I feel that there isn't going to be a BBC in a few years if we don't act now to sort of preserve what the BBC does best. You know, I think we've seen a BBC now that is so low in morale that has actually been going through its own economic crisis a lot longer than a lot of other public bodies. You know, we've had 1,000 job cuts a year since 2004. We're seeing attacks on staff pensions. Our staff pay has dropped in real terms 8% since 2007, I think it is, or 8. We're really at a critical juncture. And a lot of the things that the BBC does best are slowly being chipped away at, and it's only, I fear, it's only going to be too late when the public actually realise what is happening to the BBC. So campaigns such as 38 Degrees are absolutely critical.
You think they might help, for example, then put some pressure on the new Director General, give him the route map that I said he probably needs?
Well, all Director Generals say that audiences are at the heart of what the BBC does. And yet, from a staff point of view, we're seeing services, you know, chipped away at in a way that we think totally undermines the actual value of the BBC and will deter people from wanting to support the BBC financially as they do. So, yes, I do think that.
Luke Crawley, you're the Assistant General Secretary of the Entertainment and Broadcasting Trade Union, BECTU. Now, we've just heard about the job losses. I think 2,000 jobs will have to go as a result of these latest cut, in the sense that the 20% cut or the freeze in the licence fee will impose a 20% cut in income. What do you think, then, is the prospect for the BBC under the new Director General, and what do you think are the top priorities for him or her?
For him or her, the top priorities clearly are to prepare themselves for 2016, because I have to say that the cause of all the problem is the fact the licence fee has been frozen until 2016 because of a botched job done in over 48 hours by the current Director General, Mark Thompson. The BBC were also forced to take on £340 million worth of expenditure, which was previously funded by the Treasury, that's to say the World Service, S4C, the Welsh Language Television Channel, and also rolling out superfast broadband local TV and the cost of BBC monitoring. That's £340 million, which they wouldn't have to spend on programmes. To return to the points made by Hannah and Becky, though, I think one of the problems that we face in trying to raise the awareness of people is that this isn't a simple story. Six Music, the Asian network, very, very good campaigns, because you could say, here's a thing, the BBC are going to close that thing. And people say, well, we like it. We're prepared to jump up and down, email, come to rallies and demonstrations, both online and, if you like, physical demonstrations, to make sure that the government, the BBC, understands we can't be having this, it's not right. And so as a result, that was stopped. I mean, it was a very, very successful campaign. Here, you're forced to look at things like, for example, 2,000 jobs to go. Already a first round of cuts to news jobs, 140 been announced. That includes journalists, but also technical jobs. Asian Network still under threat, in line for substantial cuts, being moved from Leicester, its home base, down to London. Major sports events lost to pay TV. Local radio cuts, yes, they're not going to be as bad as they were, but they are still going to be quite severe. Serious cuts in jobs in Wales, in Belfast, and in Glasgow. End to original drama on BBC Four. There are lots and lots of things on this list, as you can see. And the fact is, you can't simply say to people, look, something's being taken away, because the erosion is very gradual.
Where do you think the greatest threat is at the moment, though?
That's difficult to quantify, if you like. I think the greatest threat really is going to be 2014, because by 2014 the BBC will have taken on all of the responsibilities for the World Service and monitoring and S4C.
That's additional expenditure.
That's additional expenditure. So by that stage they will have made all the cuts out of their budget. So between now and 2014 we're going to see the jobs going. And we're dealing with proposals already. I mean, frontline cuts, which clearly important in 2000, but one of the areas that BECTU represents is finance now. People would say, well, finance can hardly be frontline, surely that's, you know, backroom nonsense, who's interested in the backroom people? The fact is, one of the things they want to do is reduce the number of production accountants. Again, it sounds boring. Production accountants sit on a production and make sure that spending is controlled and directed to make sure it goes on the screen, it goes on the script, it goes where it's got to be rather than wasted. And they're saying, well, we'll spend less money on accountants. That's a saving. Well, it's a saving of one sort. If it's going to cause, you know, spending, runaway spending on productions, it's a bad thing, because they're going to be losing money which should be going on programmes. So I think we'd say that the cuts generally are likely to produce a worser product, but the fact is it's simple to demonstrate that to the audience.
Well, we can understand then the difficulty that there is on the part of the trade unions and the staff in projecting a case. Hannah Lansbury, you've heard the difficulties that they face, that they've got this big story, but it's very difficult to break it down into a way which the public can empathise with. What would be your advice looking in after what you've just heard?
Well, I think there's a lot that organisations like 38 Degrees can achieve alongside other bits of civil society, including trade unions and other organisations who might share the views of 38 Degrees members or have interests in common. I think that you're absolutely right that Six Music and Asian Network were it was easy to make the case in some ways because they were very easy to spot things. They were things that were in people's everyday life, etc., etc. But I think we have seen over the last couple of years through campaigning that our members have done around the Beast by BBID, for example, around this latest issue around the selection of new Director General, that actually members of organisations like 38 Degrees are willing to get into more of the nitty-gritty as long as the issues are presented in a timely way and are presented in a way that makes them digestible. So perhaps not presenting it all as a long list of things, but actually breaking them down in a way that gives people the opportunity to take action on those issues at the moment where there's critical decisions being made.
Now, you mentioned, Hannah, the question of the political direction of all this, the question of the B-Sky B-Bid that was almost on the point of being approved by the coalition government. We know there's a lot of back history about this six-year freeze on the BBC licence fee. Do you think that the politics of this could be exploited, or do you think it would be wiser to mount it as a sort of non-political cross-party campaign?
Well, I think that 38 Degrees is a non-party political organisation, and that's an important part of what we do. And the BBC is also obviously an independent institution. But the government makes critical decisions about what happens to institutions like the BBC, and the governments are partly motivated by the choices that people make at election time, who they vote for, etc., etc. So I think that probably, as with many other areas of campaigning, the important thing to do is to engage in a way that politicians do understand, which is by talking to them about how some of the decisions that they're making now might affect the choices that voters make come the next general election. And I think people having an understanding of, and I think politicians having an understanding of how much the general public value the BBC and value the things that the BBC brings to the kind of cultural life of the country, etc., etc. These things are an important part of making the case to politicians that they should prioritise protecting services like the BBC that are so precious to people.
Let's take up the political point immediately with Luke Crawley from BECTU. What was your reading of the politics of this? Now, the Prime Minister, David Cameron, when he gave his evidence just recently at the Leveson inquiry, he said that the government hadn't given the Murdochs what they wanted. They wanted a cut in the licence fee, not a freeze. What do you think of the politics of this?
Well, I think the politics, are pretty straightforward. It's hard to imagine that whether the pressure is overt or covert from the Murdochs. It's pretty clear the message to the Tory government, the Tory coalition, was that something needed to be done to clip the BBC's wings, and there's no question they clipped the BBC's wings extremely effectively by freezing the licence fee and sticking them with effectively a 20% cut by the £340 million extra funding for the World Service that I talked about earlier. And to deny it in the way that David Cameron does, well, he is a politician, so you'd half expect him to, but it's beyond disingenuous. I think more seriously, the issue about the Director General and Boris Johnson cack-handedly saying, well, he's got to be, a Conservative Party member. The fact is, Director Generals and indeed Chairmen of the Board of Governors in past have been Labour Party members under Labour governments and Conservative Party members under Conservative. So, and the current Chairman of the Trust is, in fact, a Conservative Party member, Lord Paton. So it's kind of, the issue is an important one, and I think there needs to be something explicit about how it happens, but it's impossible to imagine that politics will stay out of it.
Well, let's get the view of Becky Branford from the journalists. What's their take on the way this has been handled?
I don't think a lot of journalists care which party the new Director General will come from, but they want a sense that the new Director General is fighting on the part of the BBC and wants a long, a future for the BBC. I mean, we wrote to Mark Thompson recently pointing out that there were many, many hints and clues that had emerged from Leveson suggesting that there was undue influence by the Murdochs on the licence fee settlement, and that the public mood is ripe for some kind of re-examination implementation of that settlement. And research indeed indicates that people would actually be prepared to spend more on the licence fee. It hasn't gone up much in recent years. People value the BBC. He turned us down. He said, you know, this is the age of austerity. The BBC's got to suffer like any other organisation. He's not pointing to material realities of the BBC. He's going along with the political consensus the political attack on the BBC that we've seen. That we want someone who is actually going to really nail their colours to the mast and say their first priority is the future of the BBC and not just preserving it, improving the BBC in the current modern age.
Well, I can sympathise with you so much on that because, of course, when I joined the BBC in the 70s, in the early 70s, the BBC bosses were prepared to defend the licence fee. They would go to the wall to defend the principle of the licence fee. I don't know whether you feel that the chairman and the existing director general have been out there fighting for the licence fee. I think that that's part of the failure. Unless they can defend the licence fee, they're not going to give the BBC the go and the gumption that it needs.
When I first joined the BBC, one of the first things I saw was staff flooding down to the main foyer of the BBC when Greg Dyke was being turfed out after the Hutton inquiry. Since then, you know, we seem to have acquired a Director General who is content to oversee attack after attack and says after each attack the BBC can't take any more, it can't take any more job losses, only for another new euphemistic title, Delivering Quality First, Creative Futures, you know, whatever value for money, whatever title they want to give it, launched on BBC stuff before they've even got over the last one. I mean, I've had managers in meetings confusing the names of the different programmes of cuts because they, you know, they're muddling them all up because there's been so many. You know, it just feels that was a pivotal moment, and a lot of this actually does go back to that, and that he was appointed at that time not to be a particularly awkward, difficult, independent-minded leader of the BBC.
You've mentioned the licence fee and the vital need for the whole principle of a universal licence fee to be defended. Hannah Lounsbell, what's your take on the licence fee? Is it, do you think, a difficult concept now to get across that every household in the country's got to pay a licence fee for the BBC?
Well, I think a lot of 38 Degrees members certainly seem to have a pretty clear understanding of what the licence fee does, and that's how the BBC is funded. That's an interesting question, I think, for the BBC as a whole to think about is how that idea is communicated. But I think our members, from what I've seen, do seem to have an understanding of it. And certainly I've seen comments indicating exactly as Becky says, that actually people think that it represents good value for money, not a big thing that we are struggling under the weight of paying each year.
But do you think that there would actually be a possibility of launching a campaign to defend the licence fee? Because, you see, what so concerns so many people within the BBC that the licence fee is almost withering on the vine, that there aren't people coming out and defending it? Do you think it could be defended in a campaign?
I think that if it was a campaign that our members were keen to run, our campaigns are chosen by our members, our members vote to decide what we should campaign on. I think that if there was a sign that the licence fee was coming under attack again, or that there was perhaps an opportunity, as you say, to review some of the things that went into the original decision to impose the freeze, I can well imagine that 38 Degrees members might be interested in taking that campaign forward, and that's certainly something that I can imagine coming high up on a 38 Degrees poll when we're deciding what to campaign on.
Are you encouraged by that, Luke Crawley? Because, of course, this is the fundamental problem, isn't it? Is getting a political will to go on increasing the licence fee to enable the BBC to survive in these very difficult times.
Well, I think it's fair to say, looking backwards, that one of the methods that governments used, both colours, used to try and ease in, if you like, licence fee increases was effectively to make it inflation linked, so it was index linked. So when inflation went up, as inflation usually does, then the licence fee would go up at the same kind of level. But both Margaret Thatcher back in the 80s and the present government decided to de-link it from inflation, and in fact this government's decided to freeze it. In previous periods it's had a minus, so in other words it's been shrunken each year, it's gone down. I mean, it's a useful weapon to try and bring the BBC to heel. And I think there's very little doubt that the government, the present government, are using it as a weapon to punish the BBC, to tell the BBC that it's got to be doing less. And, you know, I'm afraid that Mark Thompson is only too ready to oblige. I do believe that in 2016, which I know is quite some way away, but I think if there's going to be a campaign about the retention of the licence fee, I think there'll be a lot of support for it, because it's so vastly, obviously, good value for money compared to, say, a subscription to Sky, because you get so many local radio stations, you get 6 or 7 national radio networks, you get four, if you like, what you might call relatively standard television networks, plus CBeebies and CBBC. Now, if you have small children, I have grandchildren, you know, you can see straight away why it's so much better to have them watching something such as that rather than Nickelodeon, and not making them into consumers, but allowing them to be entertained by well-made, thoughtful, British-produced programmes as opposed to bought-in cartoons for the United States. I think the BBC is obviously good value for money, and I think there's an argument there to be made and a case to be made which I think people are receptive to.
Now, you've got onto the question of standards of journalism in particular and the output. From your point of view, Becky, how can the BBC's journalism, for example, recover, and the other output, recover from some of the knocks that they've been taking in recent years? Because, I mean, there is this suspicion abroad, isn't it, that BBC standards are not as high as they were.
Well, I think there's got to be an effort mounted at the BBC to identify what is good about the organisation, and to, you know, protect that from further attacks and reinvest, in that aspect of our production. I think we're seeing a number of processes at the moment that, you know, need to be stopped, really. I mean, I think there's an increasing uniformisation of BBC News output, where we're seeing, you know, all these diverse minority outlets in the name of cuts. A lot of them are being cut, and a much more uniform news product put forward. And that, again, you know, undermines people's value that they place in the BBC. There are creeping processes of commercialisation, which I think offer a direct challenge to the BBC as a public service broadcaster. We were told just yesterday by the head of the World Service that it's just introduced its first advertising on the World Service, on the Arabic service. On my website, the BBC News website, they introduced adverts on the overseas service, you know, several years ago, and which I think is, you know, having an effect on the editorial output, because, you know, they're putting news out where they think there's a market for advertisers, rather than, you know, where needs to be covered. So I mean, I think these are processes that are going on now that a critical mind needs to go in and examine. You know, is this in the interests of the public, and is it in the interests of the BBC? And some of these processes need to be reconsidered. And I don't necessarily think this means a huge extra expenditure if you stop chopping and changing which course the organisation is taking. We fit out these huge new buildings at great expense. You know, we've seen this with the Asian Network in Leicester. Then suddenly we find a couple of years later that it's moving to London. White City premises, you know, 2004, open to great fanfare. Now a lot of the West London premises are being closed. Huge use of advisors and commercial kind of, what you call consultants, millions and millions a year, which should be spent on programming. So it's not as if the money's not there. It's about priorities, about where you spend that money, and it's about having a really critical mind about where the BBC needs to be going in the future.
So finally, your top priority for this new Director General is what?
Just to engage with staff. Staff have ideas. Staff are the real experts. That is the corollary to the public campaign, is harnessing staff expertise and staff knowledge, and not just hammering staff and making them feel alienated from the organisation they work for.
Luke Crawley, what would you say would be those top priorities for that new Director General?
I would say for the new Director General, man or woman, whoever it is who gets appointed, that they need to make it pretty obvious that they value the staff and value the ability, the creative abilities of the staff. Greg Dyke had many faults, there's no doubt about that, but clearly he was popular with the staff because he made it very clear that he thought making programmes for television, for radio, for online, was the most important thing you could possibly be doing. And the staff responded to that very, very well. When he was ignominiously sacked or forced to resign, you know, they were genuinely upset in a way I've never, ever seen. Now, that's a difficult thing to do because you have to balance that with all the other demands, but if you make it clear to the people who work there that creating the output for the audience is the most important thing to do, then I think you'd be some long way to making a success of your time as Director General.
Well, Hannah Lounsbury, you've been part of this discussion about where the BBC should be going. You, as we've said, have got this expertise. Do you think it's going to be something which we can connect the public to?
I'm pretty sure that the public have already shown how committed they are to protecting what's precious about the BBC, how proud they are of what the BBC represents, both within the UK and also what it projects to the rest of the world. And I'm sure that certainly 38 Degrees members will be leaping to its defence if necessary for a long time to come.
Well, I think you're in the presence of two people who will hold you to that. But thank you. Our thanks to Hannah Lounsborough of 38 Degrees, to Becky Bramford of the National Union of Journalists, and to Luke Crawley of Bechtu, the Entertainment and Broadcasting Trade Union. This podcast was produced by Claire Colley for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom.